Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Recovery Radio broadcast recorded live at the Leyta Recovery Center in downtown Moscow. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Leyta Recovery Center located at 531 South Main Street here in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at leytarecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at leytarecoverycenter.org and on Facebook.
Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affect us all, and to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experiences, insight, and hope for continuing recovery. I'm Denise, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I am very glad to be here today. I am in recovery from all sorts of the things, prescription things and illegal things, and I'm just glad to be here with all of you today in recovery.
Fantastic. Hi, Denise. And I am Radio Johnny, and I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Today, we got a big wheel of fortune here, and we're going to find a topic. So we're going to spin the wheel right now and see what we land on. Okay, Denise, what did the wheel land on? I can't see it from here.
I think give it away to keep it.
Oh.
Yeah, give it away to keep it.
That is a good one.
Do you want to start on that, or do you want me to start on it?
I'll kick it off.
Okay.
Of course, give it away to keep it. In the AA program, the 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the still suffering alcoholic and then to practice these principles in all our affairs. Now, carrying the message is really the key. Mm-hmm. In order for me to stay sober, I have to share what has been so freely given me. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. That allows me to keep my sobriety. I can do that sponsoring other men. I can do that by showing up early to a meeting and making coffee. I can do that by sharing my experience, strength, and hope in a meeting with a group of people. And those are just some of the ways. Sometimes it's just getting up in the morning, getting dressed, and following the marching orders of she who must be obeyed. I have to be of service. I have to keep giving away this gift that I've gotten. So how do you see it, Ms. Denise?
Well, I was just thinking that one of the ways is just listening to other people when they share about things that they're struggling with. And at times I'll be like, well, you know, this is some of the things that I participate in that help me work through the different things that are going on in my life. And I just share about, the Recovery Center is a great resource to come to if it seems like that might be a good step for them. If it's a restoration night, and then the different things that I know of that are there. Just basically sharing resources in the community, especially the ones that I've experienced that have been helpful. So I try to do that in a non-fixing way. Typically, these are people that I know that come to me because they know that I'm in recovery. They know I'm pretty easy to talk to.
Right,
so being
sure.
Vulnerable, I find that being vulnerable is another way that I would explain giving it away. I mean, I'm honest about the things that are going on in my life and how I work through them. And I think that gives hope to other people because that's what I get from people around me that do that. They're sharing about the things that are going on, what they're doing to work on themselves, sharing about the things that they don't have any control about. They're hard, but they know that they can only do their side. So just sharing and talking about stuff, being real, I think really helps in the giving it away to keep it.
Right. Well, yeah, you have to be, there's no doubt you have to be approachable. at some point. And yeah, you are easy to talk to. When we started doing this radio program together, neither one of us knew each other. It was really just, we showed up when they put a call out for people who wanted to do it. Your approachability, and I think I'm in a similar way.
Yeah.
We were able to click right away and be able to work together to produce this crazy show once a week for 3 years now.
Yeah.
Into our third year. That was giving it away to each other. I helped you when you struggled with computer and technical questions and struggles. And when I needed to go off on vacation, you just dove in and took care of it. And I didn't have to worry about it. Only got one panic phone call. And I don't even think
that's right.
Answered it.
There was a panic phone call. Oh, goodness.
There was just that one. So, yeah, giving it away to keep it, I think, is pretty essential.
It is, yeah. Like you were saying about showing up early or staying late, talking with people, making coffee. You know, part of some of the things I do is, like, lead a class, you know, facilitate something. And people just show up, and the magic happens. It just does. In a small group, the magic happens. People are sharing. People are listening. People are, you know, they're thinking things through because then they're not isolated. So, like, just being a part of making that space. I'm trying to think of what else is coming to mind.
While you were sharing about that, you know, people coming together in a space, the reason that I share in meetings, actually, when I first came in, I was real hesitant to share anything because I thought my past was so dark and so weird that you couldn't possibly like me if you knew what I was really like when I was out there drinking. And a man came up to me after I'd been going for, I don't know, maybe almost 6 months, and he goes, "How come you never share in meetings?" And I'm like, a little bit of fear, a little bit of, I don't know if I have anything all that important to say. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he goes, "Man, you don't know how important it is for somebody else to find out that they have the same problem you did, and now you're working through it, you found a way out. That's important. That's why people need to share in meetings." Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes your brain is just empty, but most of the time it's not. Most of the time you can share on a topic.
Right, exactly. And it brings hope for other people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, because sometimes when you're stuck in things that are just so heavy, they've been in for a long, long time, you know, the world looks pretty dark at that point. And it just doesn't, there's just no hope there. And someone needs to shine the light in and show the hope, you know, so you can find your way out of it. And that can really, really be by other people sharing. And then they're in a different place now. You know, it just clicks something. Well, if that person can get to there, wow, I would have never guessed that you struggled with this for all those years. And look at all the things that he's doing now. I mean, that's just huge. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that person had that conversation with you. That's cool. Conversations like that. I mean, it's like having the courage to like read the situation and go, okay, I think I need to go talk to that guy because I can tell he's got great things to talk about and I need to encourage him, spur him on to have that, to share.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, angels come in many different forms.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome. Very good.
Let's see. Let's move on to another one. Let me give the wheel another spin here. And what did we land on now?
Growth through prayer and action.
Growth through prayer and action.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
That's a good one. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think
I'll let you kick that one off.
Yeah. So what comes to mind with that one would be, well, first thing that comes to mind is when we're reading about Jesus in the Bible, he talks about how much he loves people and about how we're supposed to follow in the way that he lives his life. You know, he meets people where they are, you know, people that are broken, people that, well, in the Bible, that have diseases and all sorts of things. And they're not the people that most of the population is wanting to hang out with. They're the outcasts. And that really says a lot to me, how kind Jesus is to the people, how kind he is to women. And it sets a really great example. There is so many things when you read through the gospel that just really show love, you know, and attention. And I think that when we take time to try to model that, then we're caring for other people and we're being kind to them. And I think in that, we can tend to be kind to ourselves. So that comes to mind. Also, prayer's pretty powerful. I mean, it seems to me it's a supernatural thing. It brings answers. It brings healing. We cry out in prayer, especially when we're in addiction, and it's hard, and sometimes it takes a while to feel like things are answered. But just having that conversation, just owning it, what's really bothering us in our hearts, I think that starts to turn things. Just as when we share with another person, I think that prayer is a part of that growth and movement to change things. Prayer in action. Okay, so if I'm spending time praying on a specific area of my life that I want to be different, something I want to change, I mean, just even that for myself, even if we set aside the fact that I strongly believe that God is working in my life, and when I pray to him, he is helping me through the Holy Spirit. He's bringing people into my life to help me in these areas that I truly want to make change in, especially after I've repented. Even just for myself, when we focus on something that's healthy, that we want to make changes, we start looking for the answers for those things. So,
sure.
I mean, that's the best that I can come up with on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had some fabulous, magical situation I could share right now, but that's what comes up.
Yeah, prayer in action. For me, praying only for God's will for me and the power to carry that out, 11-step in total is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Mm. So it's laid out pretty clearly there what I need to do according to, you know, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. But when I came into the program, I pretty much had fired God. God was not my guy. I couldn't understand how God could let all these horrible things happen in the world. Friends of mine getting killed in wars. The fact that he let me turn into such a incredible wreck of a human being, just a waste of flesh walking the earth, taking up, you know, breathing room somebody else could use. Can you tell I had maybe just a little resentment?
Boy,
if I can remember it that clearly. So anyway,
that's heavy.
For me, when I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and hearing all these people talk about God was a little irritating. You know, I was morally and spiritually bankrupt. So I decided that I would somehow try to do that. Basically, I had been beaten up so badly that I was willing. I was beaten to the point of willingness. And I shared that with my sponsor, pretty much just what I told you. And he said to me, well, are you willing to believe that I believe in a God, a power greater than myself? And I said, yeah, I can clearly see that you do through your actions, or the fact that you do pray and that you do take actions based on what you perceive as the next right thing to do. So I can do that. And he said, great, that's all you need to start. And you'll develop willingness as time goes on. And that's what I did. I became willing. And prayer and action, I mean, prayer is an action. I ask for God's will for me today and the power to carry that out. I don't get a Bernie Bush moment with God where he says, okay, John, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, you know, go do this and then go do that and then this and that. And then by the end of the day, then you go to bed and don't drink between now and then. No, it doesn't work that way. I pray, and then I launch into my day, trying to practice all the principles in all my affairs, and God will put things in front of me to do. It's that simple. If I keep my head out of it and let God guide me, I'm going to be okay. It's when I take over the reins and try to control other people or control the situation instead of just being a part of the situation, doing my part, not trying to change somebody else, but just being willing to let them believe what they want to believe, I will come out the other side okay. Or at least I have. I don't know if that works for everyone that way, but for me, that's the prayer followed by sometimes just as simple as suiting up and showing up. 28 years ago, I could not have said, I will show up every Thursday and do a radio show, because I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I could have said it, but I wouldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. Not on any, in any consistent way. But now, prayer, action, go together pretty well for me.
Nice, that's good. I was going to just lastly say, and I like what you shared, that it comes to mind, the prayer and action, I used to freak out and do other things. Something would happen, and instead of turning to prayer, it would just be whatever kind of bad behaviors or being angry or stressed out, either bad choices or emotions that weren't going to serve me well, just blown way more out of proportion. And today I can calm myself and pray. What, you know, it kind of depends on what the situation looks like.
Right.
I shared with you yesterday that I was at Gritman getting a mammogram and an ultrasound to make sure of what was going on, to make sure I didn't have breast cancer. And there are, just so everyone knows, in this day and age, because they have such good imaging, there are four or five other things that can be show up on a mammogram, at least in the one article that I read. So, I mean, I knew it could be something else, but when I saw that on the image, it definitely concerned me. But I've been practicing lately, working on my emotions so that I'm actually only having the emotions with where I am with the information given, so that I'm not out in the future freaking out, okay? And just staying right where I am, staying present. So I was definitely doing some prayer over this last week and yesterday. And I would say, I guess my actions fell under choosing to think about things that were positive, choosing to do the things that I know keep me calm, and just continuing to be polite with people and be patient instead of getting all upset and letting my fight or flight just go crazy. And then that, of course, gets me kind of hyped up, and then that can affect my relationships later because I'm stressed out. So
right. Yeah. Getting spun up,
yeah,
is what I call it.
Yeah.
And it can happen to me on a moment's notice and be caused by something, just the little stuff. Mm-hmm. A broken shoelace when I'm trying to get out the door in a hurry because I'm running a little late.
Right, because that's a combination of things.
You got, oh, yeah.
You're late and you just broke your shoelace. Now you're going to be later.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that is just, that's the sort of thing that can make me go wacky. Mm-hmm. It's also the sort of thing that can drive me to drink again. That's why, you know, I'll show you right now. I wear slip-on shoes.
There's does have slip-on shoes. You decided that whole shoelace thing was not for you, huh?
Exactly.
Causing you
right.
problems.
too many potential problems going on there. Absolutely.
That's great. That's great. Oh, and by the way, I don't have breast cancer, so. It was something else.
I'm glad you finished off that.
I wanted to, you know, let our listening audience know everything's okay. But I love the fact that I could sit there and just rest in staying calm and prayer and gratitude and those kinds of things. It felt really good to accomplish that, because if it would have been 10 years ago, I would have gotten high the minute that I got the call that said you need a second mammogram. And it would have just been a total crap show the whole way through. So.
Absolutely.
And that's the old life, and this is the new one. So I choose different.
And then when you found out there was nothing wrong, you would have gotten high to celebrate.
I guess. I don't know.
That would have been maybe what my thing was. I would have got drunk.
Right, because they're celebratory getting high. Yeah.
So silly.
But hey, it was a real thing back then. So today's different.
Today's different. Mm-hmm. Thank God today's different.
Yes.
You know what? I think we're about time to take a break here, and we'll spin the wheel while we're gone.
Excellent.
And pick a couple more topics. We'll be back.
Sounds great.
So you are listening to KRFP 90.3, Moscow Pullman, the coolest station in the nation.
Turn.
And we are back, and this is Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3, the coolest station in the nation. And I'm Radio Johnny, and she is Denise. We're doing Wheel of Fortune wild pick topics today. Mm-hmm. And we spun the wheel while we were gone, so you don't have to listen to that click, 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 click again. And what we landed on first was one day at a time. For those who are not familiar, one day at a time is a slogan from AA that goes back to the beginning of time, I think.
Oh, it's in the Bible.
Yeah. And so it's not like most things in AA, they're borrowed from other places. Mm-hmm. But it's the concept that you only need to be concerned with today. And I think even more so just right now. So you got some thoughts on it. Why don't you kick it off and I'll try and catch up.
Okay. So there's a lot of worry about like the past or the future, you know. I mean, I think human beings as a whole tend to find lots of things to worry about. I mean, I think that can come from like the media and all sorts of stuff. And there's always doom and gloom everywhere. So one day at a time, to me, has been so important through my recovery, because when I was in active addiction, I was always stressed out about, I had problems with the past because those things hurt me. I had worries about the future because I was dreading everything. And so today, to just live in today has made a bunch of difference in my life, like absolute 180 difference. So one thing that comes to mind is early in my recovery when I was a participant in drug court. And things were really hard back then as far as, you know, making that transition from not relying on substances anymore into doing this program that was really intense. I mean, it's outpatient, but you have classes 5 days a week. You're doing your 90 and 90 with going to NAAA meetings and stuff. You're doing book work about yourself. I mean, there's a lot of things going on emotionally and stuff. And you're making that transition from living life sober and free from all of the drugs and everything. And so in that, there's a lot of raw feelings that are happening. I mean, you are thinking about all the things that you've been through, or at least I was thinking about all the things I had been through in active addiction. It was hard. And I remember being overwhelmed with emotions many times and just crying. And I'd learned, you know, in thinking about the one day at a time, we would say that all the time, to just then cry a little bit. And what's the next thing I need to do right now, right here today? For the next couple of minutes, what's the next thing I need to do? Because really, that was a really hard time. And it's kind of crazy thinking back to it. It feels so far away, but it was very memorable, honestly, to be able to just remember, okay, you cried, you can cry again later today, but you're going to pick yourself up. And what's the next thing you need to do? Whether it's a shower or to eat or to get ready for work, whatever it is, I'm just going to do the next thing. That's one of the important things of one day at a time for me. I'd say today, it's just about making sure that I don't freak out about things in the future, that I just stay in today. Am I taking good care of myself? Am I communicating well with my loved ones? Am I being a good employee? Like, you know, really just focusing on myself. What's my part? What's my side of the road? And that helps me stay out of being critical of others. It helps me stay out of being angry with others, because I'm really just focusing on, even if, Johnny, you said something that really pissed me off, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't have to take it personally, and I can respond back in a way that could be lovingly, or it could just plain set a boundary. I could just simply say, hey, you know, I just really don't like what you said, but okay. But I don't have to have an emotional negative thing happen.
Right.
But yeah, just staying in today. And moving forward with the things that I'm working on about myself and having as best relationships I can with those around me. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, because yeah. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. No. Anything could happen tomorrow. I've learned in recovery that the most, you would not expect them, things happen. And I'm just like, whoa, what just happened there? Oh, okay, this is what's next. All right, here we go.
Right, so. And that actually leads right into what I was going to share is, I knew a man who used to say in a meeting when we talk about one day at a time, he'd say, you know, I never woke up tomorrow.
Right.
So you're only here today. You're only dealing with right now today. And that's an excellent point that you make about why worry about what's going to happen in 6 months or a year. Now, for me, the one day at a time, sometime boiled down to 1 second at a time, 1 moment at a time, especially when I was detoxing myself, you know, sitting in my recliner chair at home, shaking like a dog pooping peach pits, and just trying to guzzle water to rehydrate myself, and hoping the DTs weren't going to be too bad this time. I just had to cling on to anything, just to not take that drink, which I knew would cure all of those things that were truly physically tearing me up. A drink would have calmed it all down. By the way, I do not recommend detoxing on your own. I could just as well have died because of seizures and everything else. And I went through it all. But for one day at a time, one of the things I struggled with once I got past that horrible withdrawal was, gosh, if I don't drink, I'm never going to have any fun again. Because as bad as my life was drinking, I still, in my mind, thought of it as being the key to fun. So seeing myself not drink for a week, a month, a year, that's going to go through vacation times and fishing trips to the lakes with my friend, all of those, the holidays with family, all those times are drinking time. And I'm never going to be able to do that again. I was playing that never game in my head. And never is a long damn time.
Mm-hmm, sure is.
So when somebody introduced me to the concept of just one day at a time, if you just take care of today, if you just take care of right now, tomorrow will take care of itself. You'll be able to develop some tools while you're in the now, in the moment, here today, so that when tomorrow does get here, and if something comes up that's not good for you, you will have the tools to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So one day at a time for me was liberating. It really was. I was finally able to understand that I don't have to think of sobriety as a lifelong struggle. It's just a daily struggle. And thank God, it's not even really a struggle anymore. You know, I occasionally think of drinking, but only very occasionally, very rarely.
You're living a different life now, for a while now.
Oh yeah, it's a totally different life. And that's one of the blessings. That's one of the promises. We'll walk through the gates and find a new freedom that, you know, we thought was impossible just a short time ago. And so one day at a time, yeah, it's great. It brings all that fear of the future, fear of the unknown, and just kind of beats it up, wraps it in a burlap bag, and throws it in the lake. Mm-hmm.
Because you're learning that, like, today, right now, you've got more and more days to keep accumulating, and things are getting better for the most part. I mean, there's always rocky areas,
right,
for sure. And as that starts to keep going more and more, then you have something to look back at and go, see, look back here. Like, it's getting better.
Right. I was able to walk through that without hurting myself.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's awesome.
Well, let's see. One more topic before we run out of time. Why do I keep going to meetings? Why do I keep coming back to the program? Well, you know, for me, relapse was a part of my story. And when I first moved up to Idaho some many years ago, I had quite a few 24 hours under my belt. And at the time, I was only aware of like one meeting between Pullman and Moscow, and I went to it a couple of times, and for some reason, I just didn't find anything there that I thought was useful. I don't know why. It's not that I didn't like the groups or didn't like the people or anything like that. It was just, for some reason, just didn't seem to be feeding me. Well, and I was busy, too. I was really busy. I had my own business, working 16 hours a day for that. Mm-hmm. And then when that crashed and burned, I went to work for a company with three initials in the name that resides in Pullman. And so I was very busy working a lot of hours and stuff, and life was pretty good, and I was not drinking. I was on the straight and narrow, and one day I found myself struck drunk. I mean, just that simple. I pulled into the liquor mm-hmm. store. I said, this will be okay. I bought a bottle. I got drunk. I went, mm-hmm. what the hell am I thinking? Mm-hmm. And I went to a meeting the next day. Surprised to find out that there were a lot of meetings in the area. One every day, as a matter of fact. Nice. This was prior to the recovery center opening, so there wasn't always a noon meeting. Turns out there is a new meeting every day over in Pullman on campus, which exists to this day. So I started going again, and I discovered that not only is it important for me to go to meetings to share my experience, strength, and hope, sometimes I just need it to get my head back on straight. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will hear something that aids in my sobriety. Somebody else's experience and the way they dealt with it will give me something else to put in my toolbox. Because even if I haven't experienced it up until now, always could happen. There's a lot of stuff out there. And why do you keep coming back?
Oh, man. I was trying to think of where I was going to start with this, because looking back from the beginning, I started, like I said, in the drug court program, and that was a 2-year, we'll call it a commitment, so yeah. that I could stay here with my family and not get in trouble for the possession charge that I had.
Commitment or else.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, I was
kind of sort of Damocles.
Right. But it's an interesting thing that happened for me, and I can't really speak to anyone else's experience, but I can definitely speak to my own. And that is, I absolutely loved the small groups. I loved the time together with the other people. I loved listening to what they were sharing. I liked sharing. I liked the information. And that has pretty much that part of recovery and that has continued on through this 7.5 years now. I absolutely love small groups. I think they're magical. There's just fabulous stuff that happens, and healing and understanding for me as I listen to someone else share. And as you know, as I share, we are meant to be in community with other people. And so when we sit together and have a commonality and we share about that, it's just so helpful. I also think back to when I was a younger person and I had a couple people speak into my life about what they saw would be qualities in me. And, you know, there was this thing about, you know, you'd make a good counselor, you know what I mean? And they talked about these kinds of things. And a lot of times, it's an opinion of mine these days that when we're younger, we get wounded in our gifting. And I think it sucks. But that's what I've seen as I've worked with people facilitating different kinds of groups like Genesis Process and Step Studies. I think it's fair to say that it's a possibility that that's what happens. And I know that that happened for me.
Can I ask you to mm-hmm. explain that term to me, wounded in our gifting?
So I think this is how I would word it. It's my belief that we are gifted. God gifts us with certain kinds of gifts, abilities, to be able to work in his kingdom, to be able to work in the world with people. I think, honestly, if I'm going to be really honest, I know this isn't a religious show, but I think that Satan winds up hurting us in those areas. I don't think that God set out to hurt me or take away my father or do any of these things. I believe there's free will. There's a way things work in the world because there's good and evil. And so my gifting was injured as a child, and my life was made very crazy. And so the path that I was then on as I grew up was very disconnected from other people. It wasn't nurturing to who I was meant to be. And I feel that now, in my 40s, it is being nurtured to who I'm meant to be, and that I am starting to fulfill the purposes of being in community with other people, being a good listener, helping people with resources, and just healing myself and also being a part of creating a space for other people healing. I know that people go to meetings because they're trying to stay sober and stay off drugs and stuff like that. And I have to do that too. I do. But I think that there's also an extra part of it is that, and I've been using the word geeking out lately. It's like I geek out on all these things. I absolutely love, love watching a person start to make better choices in their life and start to be set free from the things that are just holding them down and hurting them. I love it. It fills my soul. And so I want to be a part of those things until there's something else that I'm supposed to do. But I love that. So everything about recovery is just magical to me. Yeah. I love seeing people get their lives going in a better direction. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that I'm sober today is nothing less than miraculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Because what I tried to do to keep myself from drinking absolutely didn't work until I found this goofy program with these people very close to me said, isn't that some kind of cult? And I had to laugh and say, yeah, I think it is, actually. But you know what? It works for me. Mm-hmm. And they don't serve Kool-Aid, so I think I'm going to be okay. The coffee is pretty bad. Don't think it'll kill you, though. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah.
You're doing great. And I mean, you've shared with the audience before that you started drinking when you were really young. And so there was a big majority of your life that you struggled with this. And so today for you being sober for this long is amazing.
Yeah, I hope to be sober for as long as I was drunk. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have to live a long time. Maybe I better stop smoking. Nah, that's crazy talk.
Yes, that is the next thing that I should start bugging you about. Yep, shout out. We have to pray for Johnny to quit smoking and to stop using nicotine.
Yeah, we all know how well that works. But anyway, hey, we're out of time. Thanks, Denise, for rocking this with me today. It was kind of a weird, different format, but I think we'll do it again. Mm-hmm. Everybody out there, thanks for listening. And remember, if you think you have a problem with drugs or alcohol or mental health issues, well, you do.
you never will see no more. But there is one promise that is given. I'll meet you home.